live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
Today on QCL, kicking off spring with a special fundraiser benefiting multiple programs impacting patients at Unity Point Health Trinity, how you can take part in the upcoming Blossoms and Brunch. And make LeClaire a Saturday destination as tomorrow marks the annual Spring Shop Hop. We'll get a preview of the many businesses that are taking part. And later, Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse is taking us back to school with performances of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the musical. We'll meet some of the cast members. You're watching Quad Cities Live on this Friday, April 5th. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Morgan Otier. Kyle is off. Well, we might be waiting for Mother Nature to take the hint, but it is officially spring, and that means it's almost time for the annual Friends of Trinity Blossoms and Brunch. Talisa Bollinger joins us from Friends of Trinity this afternoon. Talisa, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
We have so much to get to. There's a whole display of items here I can't wait to talk about. Blossoms and Brunch, though, it is coming up on Saturday, May 4th, so tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Blossoms and Brunch, like you said, is on May 4th. It's going to take place at the Isle from 9 a.m. until noon. Attendees can expect a phenomenal keynote speaker who will be sharing a very moving, emotional story. She's a former patient, okay. So I won't give it all away. Right. We have brunch, some raffle baskets, and a few more things that we can talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, you guys really go all out for this event, and it's been going on for a number of years now. I remember being part of it way long ago. I mean, before my daughter was even born, so that's more than 5-6 years ago. Doing a lot of good for the community, but it really is a special event. There's lots that's going on there, if, you know, the items on this table were any indication. So guests of Blossoms and Brunch are going to be able to do a little bit of shopping.
Absolutely. We have a couple of vendors that will be on site showcasing their items. We also have some plants that you'll be able to purchase, which are on the table beside us. Loads of plants just in time for Mother's Day.
Yes.
We also have a gift shop boutique, which is what some of these items that you see here on the table represent. And of course, we also have a multitude of raffle baskets that you can potentially win.
Yeah, the raffle baskets are amazing. So right now, Owen is kind of zooming out on the floral basket that you brought. You guys have so many beautiful floral arrangements, baskets, things like that. Because I've been to this event, and I'm a huge proponent of this event, people kind of scope out, you know, the different baskets that they want, because every single one of them, they're beautiful, and you can get them at a really good price.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you are trying to get something for Mother's Day or a gift or just something for your own house, This is a really good event to scope those items out. They're absolutely perfect. So you have these different raffle baskets as well. I've got one right in front of me here. It looks like it's a little wine theme. There's a gift card to go bowling at Big River Bowling. And then down here, there's a giant raffle basket with a book, a blanket, all kinds of things. Roughly how many of these are you expecting? Like a dozen, a couple dozen?
You got to keep going.
What?
Morgan, we have about 50 raffle baskets that people can bid on, can try for. We also have something new this year, which is the silent auction items that we'll be bringing in.
That's
fun. And a wine pool. So people will have plenty of chances to get a little something when they come. So
I love that. Okay, so talk to us a little bit about the Friends of Trinity organization. That's the organization that is hosting this event.
Absolutely. So Friends of Trinity was formed 30 years ago. We just celebrated our anniversary last year. It's a group of over 270 individuals that come together to support Unity Point Health Trinity through fundraising and service. A large bulk of our Friends of Trinity are our fundraisers, our volunteers. Yeah. They help with our fundraisers. We have Blossoms and Brunch like this. We also have on-site vendor sales. So when you're in the hospital, you can see some treats, some books. We bring some of the similar items that you'll see at Blossoms and Brunch on site.
Yeah.
So they help us in a wide variety of ways.
Yeah.
They can support us through donating online, or they can mail in a check if they'd like to, payable to Friends of Trinity, and all of those proceeds go towards the same same mission.
Yes, and Blossoms and Brunch specifically supports three projects supported, Caring Closet, Caring Canines, and Prayer Shawl Ministries. I love all of these programs that you guys support. Give us a little brief overview of Caring Closet.
So Caring Closet is something that's established for patients that come in who may have had an incident, whether they have
been in an accident.
Yeah. They could be a sexual assault victim. They could have had their clothes cut off, mm-hmm. and they don't have any items to wear home. Yeah. Unfortunately, some of our patients don't have family members to bring them a change of clothes. So we have tops and bottoms that we can give out to our patients. So part of the proceeds from the event help purchase these items.
Yeah. So they can have a little dignity.
Yes, absolutely.
And wear something home when they leave the hospital.
Yep.
The next one is Caring Canines. We have our fake pup here today.
Yes.
But are you guys going to do the canines at all at the brunch?
No, we are not.
They have these pups that come in, and those are like the therapy dogs. They just come in and they make people feel better.
We have 50 Caring Canines.
Ooh, so you guys really can't have them all come this year.
Anybody that comes in as a patient can request a visit by a Caring Canine, and we will send one upstairs. Proceeds from the event help support the purchase of what you would see on our mannequin pup down there. They have a little vest. They have little trading cards that they give away.
Yes.
And little badges, just like a regular employee does.
They're very, very cute. There's a lot of good pups that are part of that. And finally, Prayer Shawl Ministries is the last program being supported.
Yes. So Prayer Shawl Ministries, like I said, we have volunteers that donate time at the hospital and from home. So individuals donate their time and talents by making these beautiful prayer shawls, all sorts of colors and super soft, for that patient that needs just a little extra spiritual care while at the hospital.
Yeah.
It could be while they're sick or end of
super
stage.
Soft.
So we bring them in and just provide a little extra healing.
Yeah, they're super soft and these are made with love. I mean, these are handmade. Really exceptional programs that folks would be supporting by going to Blossoms and Brunch, okay?
Yes.
So here's the info for everybody. Saturday, May 4th, as we mentioned, 9 to noon at the Isle Casino Hotel in Bettendorf. You can register to attend the event online or by calling the volunteer office at 309-779-2211. Yours truly will be there. I get to MC the event again this year.
Yes, thank you very much once again to you and KWQC for being our media sponsor, and McLaughlin for being our presenting sponsor.
We love supporting this organization and everything that you guys do, so I can't wait. I hope we'll both see everybody there.
Yes. Don't forget your hat.
Yes, and wear your hat, right? We're going to wear our derby hats, our tea hats.
Yes.
Okay, Lisa, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely, thank you.
Well, still to come on Quad Cities Live, the Hawkeye women will hit the hardwood in Cleveland tonight as they take on the UConn Huskies for a spot in the NCAA championship. We have a live report from our own Kevin Kaur next.
Coverage of Iowa Women's Quest for a National Championship is sponsored by Rhythm City Casino Resort and Hawaiian Rose Island Grill.
Well, it is a big night for Hawkeye fans. The Iowa women's basketball team is gearing up to play in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. TV6's Kevin Kaur is joining us live now from Cleveland. Kevin, we still have about 5 hours to go, but fans, they are excited and they are ready.
Oh yeah, Morgan, the city of Cleveland has been a sea of black and gold over the last couple days with Hawkeye fans everywhere. Now this afternoon we went to Turneytown Fan Fest to check with some of those Hawkeye fans and find out how they're feeling about tonight's game.
Caitlin Clark jerseys and Tiger Hawks everywhere. Some coming from the Quad Cities area.
Eldridge.
Some coming from here.
I'm a big fan of Caitlin Clark.
All sporting the black and gold, whether it was a trip here to see the GOAT.
Because I feel like she could be a generational player and potentially one of the greatest WNBA players ever.
I love all her three-pointers and all the records she's broken, and I want to watch her play really good.
Or to see the role players do their thing to help Iowa to victory.
It's going
to
be their teammates. The teammates come through, hit their shots. I think we have a great chance of winning tonight's game. I think it's going to be great. Everyone's going to be excited and get their money's worth.
They've been together as a unit for so long that they all know each other. They're all friends. They all play so well together. And even though Caitlin is the star of the show, no one seems like they let that bother them. I think other teams that might bother them, but these women know exactly what they're here for.
For everyone we talked to, they were just happy to see what these Hawkeyes, along with the other teams, have done to grow the game.
I actually played during when Title IX came in effect. We played half court, and the fact that these women are just bringing thousands of people and generating this economic boom, I can't imagine what it's going to mean to the city and to women across the world, actually.
But for tonight, everyone we talked to, who were not biased in the least, are predicting a Hawkeye win.
82-74.
I think it's going to be like 90-80-ish.
82 Hawks, 74 UConn.
This is Gabby Marshall. If she hits three threes, I think we win.
And just in a little under an hour, the doors are going to open here, and over 20,000 fans will be entering this arena, most of them Hawkeye fans. If you are looking for a last-minute ticket, we did check on StubHub. The cheapest ones are going for just over $300, and they are way up there at the top. Morgan.
Wow, Kevin, thank you so much. Again, tip-off is tonight at 8:30. TV6 will, of course, have all the highlights and fan reaction. Meantime, much of the success the women's team is celebrating started with the team's coaches more than 30 years ago. Three best friends, Lisa Bluder, Jan Jensen, and Jenny Fitzgerald.
You gotta get choked up thinking about it. You can't describe what it's like for us to have made it last year, but then to go back to back. As young coaches, I mean, man, you're watching Tennessee do it. You're watching, and to now be here with your best friends and all the blood, sweat, and tears, it's just a blessing.
I mean, it's obviously been an incredible ride. I mean, who would have thought 32 years ago that we'd be at this point in our careers? And it's certainly been an incredible experience.
When you have that kind of loyalty, when you have that kind of comfort and knowing they got your back, you got their back, I mean, you know exactly what they're thinking. It is such a comfort, but it also helps you get through the really low times and enjoy the high times even more.
What's great about Lisa is that she just lets Jan and I, and would let us grow in our positions when we were younger, and, you know, kind of just like, these are your strengths, these are your strengths, do that, I'm going to help you with your weaknesses as well, and you're going to get better at those things as well.
God has blessed us with friendship, with great teams. We get to coach these great young women, and Lisa, you know, in my opinion, is as good as it gets as a leader, and we've all stuck together. So it's a dream. We're living our dreams, you know.
And if you can't make it to Cleveland for tonight's Final Four matchup, try Carver Hawkeye Arena. The University of Iowa Athletics Department is hosting a free women's basketball watch party for Iowa versus UConn. Doors will open at 7 p.m., 90 minutes before the 8:30 scheduled tip-off from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. Fans attending the watch party can watch the game on the Jumbotron. Parking is free. And during the watch party, there will be entertainment and concessions available. Sounds fun. Up next on QCL, Ring in Spring, with a special event happening all day tomorrow in downtown LeClaire. We'll preview the annual Shop Hop after the break.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Well, it is starting today to feel more like spring, which makes tomorrow the perfect day to explore LeClaire's Spring Shop Hop event. Joining me from one of the many businesses taking part are Casey and Jennifer Cupp, owners of Buttercup Candles. Welcome to both of you.
How are you doing? Thank you.
Yes, I'm great. Thanks for being here today.
Awesome.
I was glad to see the sun. Yes. Out today.
Yes.
And for good what sign. Our meteorologist have been saying is we're expecting a little more of that for tomorrow. So it's going to be a great day. Before we get started on the Shop Hop event, Casey, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about Buttercup Candles.
Well, it's our 4 years we've been doing Buttercup Candles, and we launched. And so we have a store, obviously, in LeClaire and
yes.
one in Bettendorf.
That's right.
And then we make everything right in Moline, Illinois.
Very so, cool. Yeah. And you guys brought some with you today.
We did.
We have a little bit of spring and some Mother's Day.
Yes. Yeah. In my dog mom era.
Yes, we can't leave the dog mom without.
Yeah,
I love how you guys title all of your candles. They're
Thank
so cute.
You.
So much fun.
Can I smell them?
Yeah,
oh, yeah
absolutely.
Totally.
Can you get it open?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Thank you.
So you guys have been able to, what's that one?
This is High Tide. I love this one. It says, life is hard, but at least you don't have ugly kids.
See, we love the creativity. Ooh, and that's a really nice one as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so are these the types of items that people are going to be able to find in your LeClaire shop?
Yep,
tomorrow?
In LeClaire we stock all of our scents. We have a signature line, we'll have some of our seasonal, and then we always like to do some fun different, you know, for Mother's Day, things like that.
Yeah, these really do, they make great gifts. It's kind of like you can kind of go down the line and you can see some of the little things that you guys write and you go, this is perfect for so-and-so, or this is perfect for my mom. It's just one of those really special places where you can find that unique thing. Jennifer, talk a little bit more about what else shoppers can look forward to when they just explore LeClaire tomorrow beyond Buttercup Candles.
Yeah, so there are going to be over 20 businesses participating, so I feel like it's just about everybody out there. But there's going to be a little bit of everything from live music to some pop-ups to some discounted and sales going on, so lots to do in all of the different shops.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. Like you guys mentioned, there's going to be roughly 20 businesses involved. So a few of the others that we can expect, Casey, I know I read, I think, Cody Rose Flower Company and Nest, so that kind of those Route 67 businesses, those are getting involved. Mm-hmm. What else can you tell us? What other businesses can we look forward to?
So let me see. It's Lewis Knutson's playing live music for Nest. Then you have Cody Rose has like flowers that they're going to have like discounts on them. I think a big thing is Green Tree. Matt and Kurt are celebrating the birthday of Waylon, their brewery pup out there. So you got to check. They have new like merchandise coming out just for the dogs, so that's going to be fun.
It feels really community oriented.
Yeah, totally. I think above all else,
I mean, I think if you're even like a tourist that is just visiting LeClaire and just happens upon, you know, this event that's happening, it's going to feel extra special, but it's also going to feel like it always feels.
Yeah.
Totally.
In a certain sense. So Jennifer, talk about the importance of, I guess, that community feeling and supporting local business owners.
Yeah, you know, there has just been a rise lately on businesses closing. It's just been heartbreaking to see. And so I think it's just always important to remember that if you love that flavor that small businesses bring to your community, they're the things that set you apart and make you a unique destination. It's just so important to go out and just support them. And it doesn't mean that you have to buy something from everybody, but you know, just showing up and buying one or two things throughout the day, getting something for mom maybe, it just a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah, truly. I mean, think about what you have coming up, whose birthdays you have coming up, which holidays you have coming up, and while you're there, you know, look for things specific and unique to those folks, because you know, it's hard to find otherwise. Everything's so mass produced and all of that. So super important. I do think too, Casey, like, you know, we saw people trying to like raise up small businesses during COVID, right? It was just, there was such a cry for it. And you know, I think that kind of, it dwindled a little bit, because everybody that doesn't own a small business probably thought, well, they're gonna be okay. We're gonna be fine, because, you know, COVID, it's behind us now. But we kind of still, we need to keep doing that.
Yeah, and just rallying together, because the money that's spent with those small businesses, that stays in our community. So like Bert with Heaven and Earth out there, he's a friend of ours. So we know all these people, and they have families, and it's just a great, it's gonna be a great weekend, and a great way to add value as a Quad City member, and also help small businesses. So.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous, and there's so much good that you can find there. And there's some new businesses. I mean, Emily found it.
Adorable.
Yeah, you guys just have a lot going on in the most perfect way. So here's all the information. It is actually happening tomorrow from 10 to 5. Roughly 20 businesses. They're going to be offering different promotions, different discounts potentially, and some giveaways, including Buttercup Candles. For more information, if you need it, look for the Spring Shop Hop event page on Facebook. Casey and Jennifer, thank you for stopping by today and bringing your beautiful products and promoting such an awesome thing. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, we are just days away, as Kyle mentioned, from a once-in-a-lifetime celestial event, a total eclipse of the sun. On Monday, April 8th, more than 31 million people from Texas to Maine will be in the prime location to watch it happen. My QCL co-host Kyle Keel talked with a NASA heliophysics program executive about the exciting experience.
Hi, everyone. I'm meteorologist Kyle Keel with KWQC TV 6. Thank you so much for joining us for this live stream. We are about to get into the total solar eclipse. It's just 5 days away on April 8th. We've been talking about it for really the last several months. A lot of people in the path of totality have been preparing for this. Many of you here at home might have plans to go down to Missouri, Southern Illinois, into Indiana to maybe catch a glimpse of totality. So lots to talk about here over the next several minutes. And we have a very special guest with us right now, Heather Futrell. She is with NASA. She is actually a heliophysics program executive at NASA, and she joins us now live from the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. Heather, we appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, a very exciting time for you all at NASA, because I know that, you know, a lot of studies go on when these eclipses happen. So, you know, here in the Quad Cities, we're not necessarily in the path of totality. We're about 80 to 90% of the sun being eclipsed by the moon. So what can people expect here on April 8th, weather permitting?
Yeah, so you guys will still be able to see that partial eclipse. So you'll still be able to see where the moon kind of takes a bite out of the sun as it goes through its transition. So you still will get to witness it. And also, depending upon, because with your coverage being about 80 to 90%, I still would expect, even if there's cloud coverage, you still may see a dimness that occurs during that time period, and you also may still see a little bit of a temperature change too.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was just about to say, I was in Dubuque, Iowa for the solar eclipse, the total solar eclipse that happened back in 2017. So if people remember that, that's exactly what we kind of experienced. It was kind of a cloudy day, but once that eclipse was happening, the partial eclipse, you could literally feel the temperature drop within minutes. It was such an incredible experience to be a part of. And of course, we want to do it safely. So kind of talk about those safety glasses, or glasses rather. If the people have them from 2017 kind of tucked away, are they still safe to use?
Yeah, so I would say to take your glasses out and look at the lenses and make sure there aren't any punctures or any folds or anything like that that cause damage to the lenses. And if the lenses still look good, then you should be able to use them safely. But you can also do indirect methods of viewing too in order to make sure you're completely safe, where you do that by like pinhole projectors. So one way to do that is like interlacing your fingers, holding them out to the side, and then the sun behind you, the light shines through and will project images of the sun's crescent on the ground in front of you.
Perfect. Yeah, good advice there. So talk about how this total solar eclipse is going to be a little different from the one that we experienced in 2017.
Yeah, so there are a few. So the first one being that the path coming in from Texas and then exiting through Maine, there's about an additional 10 million people that will be able to experience totality. And then the second part is that the part, if you are in totality, totality lasts about twice as long as it did before.
Okay, so, you know, this is a big deal for NASA, obviously. So what is NASA most excited about? What will they be looking at during this eclipse? What will they be studying?
Right. So during a total solar eclipse, if you're in that period of totality, you can actually view the sun's outer atmosphere, known as the corona. And because we're in a period of extra solar activity, because we're at the solar max, there should be more kind of wispy structures that are going to be popping out from behind the moon that we're really excited to see with the naked eye.
And obviously, you have all of the technology there at NASA to look at this through telescopes and everything else. So what are you most excited about here come Monday?
So for me, I'm going to be traveling to Indianapolis to see totality myself. And so there's going to be a big group of people that's going to be there. And so I am really excited just to be around all of this heightened energy and this eclipse fun and just everybody talking about it. I'm really excited for that part.
You know, it's so funny to see clips from 2017 from news reporters who were in the path of it, and they were just overcome with emotion when totality happened. I mean, even myself, it was just so exciting to be a part of that. I wasn't sure what to expect, and it was just a very interesting experience. So if our viewers aren't thinking of venturing outside, how else can they get involved? How else can they view the total solar eclipse?
Yeah, so during the day on April 8th, NASA will be having a live broadcast the whole day. So you can find that at go.nasa.gov/eclipse2024 to find out other things about the eclipse, sunspots, and the live broadcast.
All right, Heather, I've enjoyed our conversation here over the last few minutes. Heather Futrell, she is from NASA and heliophysics program executive there. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks, Kyle. Have a great day.
Very cool, Kyle. Thank you. Coming up in your next half hour of QCL, a live report from Modern Woman Park as the Bandits baseball season gets underway tonight. But first, one of the best-selling children's books in history is taking the stage at Circa 21. We'll talk with one of the stars of the show.
Live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
Circa 21 is heading back to middle school with performances of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the musical. Brett Hitchcock and Jack Carslake are here from Circa, and performances are underway right now. Very cool. They've been going on for about a month now. Brett, performances started back in March, kind of around spring break time.
Yep.
So talk a little bit about who is coming to these shows. I mean, who's kind of the audience, and who are these shows for?
Well, I mean, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid book series is such a popular series of books that, you know, we're seeing all ages of kids come in, and everyone is, you know, I have an 8-year-old son that just, that's all he reads, and we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of entire school groups. We had 300 there today, middle school kids and grade school kids. So, and I think it's really running the gamut because it's such a popular series of books that,
yeah.
And we're doing the world premiere of this one. This is a 60-minute version of a musical, and no one has done this before. So
that's
we are really fortunate. And it was neat because Jeff Kinney, who is the author of all of the Wimpy Kids books, lived in the Quad Cities. His dad used to work for the Argus Dispatch newspaper back in the day.
Really?
And so he was very familiar with the area. So when they saw, when we had requested the rights, he said, well, yeah, that's wonderful. I that's where I lived there. My dad worked in that city. And so very familiar with this area. So which was a really cool connection. And
that is very cool.
Yeah.
That's
and so
an awesome
we're
connection.
Really just thrilled to be able to do the world premiere of it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. Congratulations to you, Jack. You play the main character, who is Greg, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So talk a little bit about your character and the role that you play in this musical.
So Greg's, as you said, a middle school boy, and the entire show is about him trying to climb the ranking of the popularity numbers as they have it. But it seems every time he finds a way to get to the top of the popularity meter, something goes wrong or it doesn't work, and he kind of has to start over again. And at the end, there's a very nice bow tie put on the whole story, which I...
I don't want to give it away,
but...
That's the teaser, right?
this kid knows how to write a
That's
tease.
That's right.
That is for sure. Yep. So I know a lot of peers are coming to see this show, a lot of little kids. I know my daughter's preschool, they go and they take a field trip, and they come out and they watch this show. So what has the response been like from people in the audience?
I mean, it's always fun to have kids in the audience because they're always happy to be loud and clap, so you know they're going to be happy to see you. But, I mean, it's always interesting because you never know how they're going to react to what, and it's always a fun little game of...
What's it like for you performing in front of your peers, performing in front of people that are basically almost your age?
I mean, it's what I mostly do. I feel like throughout the Quad City scene, it's mostly kids going around and seeing their friends and stuff, so I'm pretty used to it, and I think it's kind of unique to get to have that experience.
It is very, very cool, and, you know, it really sets you up for success because I think, you know, it's one thing to perform in front of your parents and people that are your parents' age, but it's so much more difficult sometimes when people are your age, and it's really brave and it's really cool that you get to do that. So take us a little bit through the storyline of the musical as far as these are adapted from books, Brett, but you guys have obviously added music and choreography to that.
Right, yeah, Jeff Kinney's team put this show together.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it is a musical version. And again, it's just a wonderful time. It's a lighthearted thing. I mean, for kids of any age, our children's shows only last an hour.
Oh, perfect.
And so there's no meal bar service, so you're in and out quickly. So if you have younger ones with attention span issues, this really kind of solves that, you know, because you're not there for the whole evening the way you are for our evening shows. And so just very kind of just down, and we get right to it and entertain them, and then they're out the door. And
no, that's actually perfect. And the time of day, too, like the doors open at 9:30 in the morning, right?
Correct. The majority of our performances, the doors open at 9:30 and the show's at 10, so you're done by 11. So basically you've got your late morning and all afternoon still available to you.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Jack, what's your favorite part about this musical?
Probably right at the end where you get to see Greg does something very big and responsible, and it really shows the growth of his character throughout the show, and he gets to reunite with someone that he unreunited during the show, so it's a really great part.
Awesome. Mm. Another really nice tease from Jack.
That's right.
So doing fabulous on yep. that. And before we let you guys go, Brett, talk a little bit about the scenery for the show, mm-hmm. I guess costumes and choreography. I know there's a lot of folks that have been with Circa for quite some time that really had a hand in making this all come together.
Yeah, you know, our children's shows, the sets for those, we really always have to revolve around whatever we're doing for our evening shows.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a tricky thing, and sometimes, you know, try to adapt. And with this one, you're trying to do Diary of a Wimpy Kid in a church basement kitchen. So it does create some challenges. Our scenic designer did get some other pieces put up, so we kind of blocked that out to some sense. But it's always interesting to see how on the creative side they come about with trying to figure out how to do a set when you're working around you know, another set that just simply cannot move. It's in place, and how do you adapt it, and how do you work around it, and
that.
You know, to some degree try to utilize it within the children's shows. But
creativity upon creativity.
Absolutely.
I love that. Okay, well, here's all the information on your screen, folks. You can see Diary of a Wimpy Kid the musical on schedule Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays through May 18th. Now, these are mostly morning productions with doors opening at 9:30, as we mentioned. Now, tickets are $12 per person. And to reserve your ticket, you can call the number that is right there on your screen, 309-786-7733, extension 2. Brett and Jack, thank you so much for being here today and talking about the show, and congratulations. It sounds like it's going great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank
Thanks,
you.
Morgan.
Thanks for having us.
Well, still to come, it is the season home opener in Modern Women Park, and we're going to get a live report ahead of tonight's Bandits game. That's next.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Well, it's a big sports weekend in Cleveland. It's a big sports weekend here at home with the Quad Cities River Bandits home opener happening tonight. TV6's Brianna Balog joins us live from Modern Woodman Park. And Brianna, it is a chilly start to the season, but it is always a good time for fans.
You're absolutely right, Morgan. Baseball season is finally here at Modern Woodman Park, where we're just a few hours away from opening day for the Quad City River Bandits, who are taking on the South Bend Cubs. And I'm joined by owner of the River Bandits, Dave Heller. And Dave, just how excited are you that opening day is finally here?
Oh, I'm fired up, Brianna. I'm so excited about it. We've been waiting 6 months for this, and I can't wait to see all my friends and neighbors in the Quad Cities right here at award-winning Modern Woodman Park.
And what can fans look forward to tonight at the ballpark?
They're going to see a great team, first and foremost, right? Our pitching is stacked. We have Frank Mazzucato, Ben Caderna, Shane Panzini, Steven Zoback. We are stacked with pitching. So I'm really excited about that. The pitchers that people see tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, those are the players who are going to be starring in Kansas City in 2 or 3 years.
And at the start of a new season, you know, what do you think makes this team, you know, different from previous in the past?
I think it is that pitching. I think that pitching is so good this year. We've had great hitters in the past. Our first baseman, Vinny Pasquantino, is now starting for the Royals. Our second baseman, Michael Massey, starting for the Royals. Our third baseman, Mikel Garcia, starting for the Royals. Our outfielder, Nate Eaton, starting for the Royals. Right, we've had a lot of hitters go up there, but we haven't had a lot of pitchers. And now we've got some great arms this year, and I'm excited for that.
And any fun festivities happening around the ballpark tonight?
Oh, my goodness. So we have a great, huge fireworks show tonight. And we also have a refrigerator magnet giveaway and to go on your freezer. And if you don't have a freezer, no problem. We're going to give away a freezer as well.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, my pleasure.
First pitch is set at 6:30 p.m. Live in Davenport, Brianna Balog, TV6 News.
All right, Brianna, thank you. It is Fireworks Friday. Lots of people looking forward to that. Just make sure that you bring a blanket or a heavy coat. And still to come on QCL, we're going to have our wins of the week, including one win that seemed at times like it would never happen. That plus a final look at your weekend forecast. That's next. Well, it is time now for our wins of the week, where we celebrate some of our personal victories. Now, for me, I've been been at work for a few days. It was really, I really had to go searching for a win of the week and not a fail. But it is tied into that. So I was sick this week, almost the entire week. I got diagnosed with influenza B, which is just going around right now like wildfire. At least that's what the nurses tell me. So what you're seeing is a progression of my fevers over the last few days, because I had no other way to showcase to you. But finally, I think sometime yesterday, I wasn't dealing with the fever anymore.
The red.
When you get the red on the thermometer, it is no joke. That was my nurse yesterday when I was working on my couch. That's Winifred. My win, I guess, is that I am back at work.
You're alive.
I'm happy to be here. I am alive. We made it through influenza B. All in all, I mean, I've had colds that were bad. But I think the fevers just are what make this one the toughest one.
Plenty of vitamin C being consumed over in the weather center.
Good. And keep washing the hands. Yes. And you know how it is, though? You have a little kid, too.
Oh, yeah.
And she got it first, and then she gave it to mom.
They're like little
carriers. It's unavoidable sometimes.
Of, yeah.
Yes. What about you? What's your win?
So for those who don't know, one of the things I do, too, is some of the graphics you see, the branding.
Yes.
Well, we're working on.
Like this, behind us.
Yes. That's one of my creations. But the biggest thing is, it's our 75th year working on a documentary, and so we have a basement that is like a museum capsule, and so we found some old, one of the things we're trying to look for in this documentary is some of these old pieces of music that we used to use.
Oh, wow.
Jingles, all that. And so took it to our friend Pat Stolle over in Rock Island. He has the machines that can play
look
that stuff.
Look at that.
Yes, that was the particular one there was called Newswatch 6. There was a very brief time where we were branded that, and this is some of those. So we found quite a bit of.
I love the music.
Well, you should hear some of the stuff from the early 70s, and it's pretty. Interesting.
Yeah,
we're pretty excited about it. So
crazy
to see, and you know what? Those don't exist anywhere.
I
so
know.
That we kept it and have it. It's pretty crazy.
How cool for us. How cool for us to have you looking for all this stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for watching. Your local news at 4 is up next.